Hello, friends, and welcome back to your Rainbow Reads podcast.
Hello, stranger. It's been quite a minute that we have recorded, number one, anything, and number two, in person with each other, sitting right next to one another.
That is so, so true.
It's so nice.
We've been, I'm going to say remiss. We've been absent.
We have, but it's not really remiss because we just have had a lot of life that was lifing.
Yes, yes. And we actually don't work here.
No, no one pays us a single dollar.
This is a volunteer effort, I'm going to say.
Right. And so November was a rough month for both of us.
Yeah.
And I think that we both just decided that reading could not be our priority.
And even if we were reading, because I did read, and I think you did too, read some really nice books in November. One of them's actually going to be on my top 10 list.
I actually only read 3 books, but one of them was 850 pages long.
So we were reading.
Definitely yeah. Reading, but not...
Not recording, friend.
No, and also that's okay because sometimes just life fucking happens.
Yeah.
It just life happens, but we are back with my favorite episode of the year always.
It's kind of my favorite episode of the year too.
Yeah, it's our second annual top 10 queer book countdown.
Top 10 queer books, and to clarify, we are counting down the top 10 queer books that we read this year.
Yes.
Not that even were even maybe even written this year.
No, and also, we did our lists a bit differently this year. Some of the books we've reviewed on the podcast, and some we haven't. And some we may review in the new year.
Yeah, I feel like one or two on my list were definitely, we had scheduled to review in the new year. So I'm thinking we'll eventually do that.
We'll get around to it.
You know what? There's no pressure.
No,
there's literally no pressure whatsoever.
We're just being footloose and fancy free. And you know, friends, we may have to change up our schedule a little bit in the new year because to make it easier for us to all manage our own lives.
We don't have an excuse and we actually don't need one.
No, we don't, but we will be back.
We'll be back and we may be a little unpredictable in the way that we aren't going to release every week. And you know what? That's okay.
It is okay. We'll do what we can and we'll still be here reading and reviewing books and getting out those new releases for you.
That's what we're trying to do. That's all we want to do.
It is. It's all we can do.
At this, our favorite volunteer job.
I love that. This is a for free job, so.
Yeah, we love entertaining you.
Yes. So we have absolutely no question of the day today because we have two lists to get through and we want to get on with it. So here's how it's going to go. We're going to start with each of our top 10s and move down. And I think Halls did her list a little bit different and we don't actually know what's on each other's lists.
If you could see us, I keep shielding my list from
Susie.
I don't want her to see.
And she thinks I can see that piece of paper all the way across from here.
In the dark.
I can't. We're like sitting. We have a little light and a candle as if we were Little House on the Prairie.
And I'm shielding my list like Susie's going to cheat from mine.
I'm not cheating.
Meanwhile, she's worked all week on hers.
Yeah, I got my list together. I went through my Goodreads and picked these, and it was really hard.
It was hard for me, too.
Even though this is our own podcast and we can do whatever the fuck we want, we did say top 10.
Yeah.
And when I started, I had like 13, I think. And I'm texting Holly, can we do? And she's like, well, we can do whatever we want, but probably best if we did narrow it down to 10.
Yeah, we don't have any rules. But the funny part is, I started out with 13 as well.
That is crazy. Well, that was just a lot of good reading. And if I'm being honest, I did purposely leave off a few to save in the new year that I culled from the list because we hadn't reviewed them on the thing and I needed space for only 10.
Yeah,
so
I respect that.
That's how I did mine. But we're going to start with each of our number 10s and then we're going to move down. And we're going to also see which ones we had in common and which ones we did not, which I think we're going to have more in common than not.
I think that's probably true. I feel like the only ones I'm going to have on my list that you don't have on your list might be, you know, ones that you didn't read, perhaps.
Right.
But there could be some that maybe I enjoyed More than you did. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So I'm going to let you kick us off here with number 10.
Okay, so number 10 on my list was one of the books that I had anxiously awaited from the year prior, which is The Shadow Cabinet by Juno Dawson. That's my number 10 book on my list. I found that book extremely enjoyable, and I'm going to give that book my number one villain of the year award. Yeah. Followed very closely, and this book almost made my list, by the villain in the book Venko.
That was
a great villain in that book as well. So if you like villains, go check out The Shadow Cabinet by Juno Dawson. But you do need to read Her Majesty's Royal Coven first. Otherwise, correct, it won't make jack shit for sense.
That is true. All right. So my number 10 was In the Lives of Puppets by T.J. Klune.
Yeah.
Now, I can't believe that I am putting a T.J. Klune book at the bottom of my list. However, we just read so many good books, and it was my third favorite of the trio of his books that I've read, which are House in the Cerulean Sea, Under the Whispering Door, and then In the Lives of Puppets. Now, I will say this, maybe this book did have some of my favorite characters in all the books that we've read.
The little robot. What was his name?
The Roomba.
The Roomba.
But it's not named a Roomba. I can't remember.
Was it Rambo?
Rambo, yes. And Rambo and Nurse Ratched.
Those were both my favorite.
Yeah, so the characters were awesome. I love this book, but the list was long of books that I really enjoyed, and there were some that I enjoyed more. So coming in at number 10, In the Lives of Puppets by T.J. Klune.
Spoiler alert, that one actually didn't make my top 10. Do you believe it?
No.
That's wild, isn't it?
Well, it was like super close to getting cut off of mine, but Rambo and Nurse Ratched basically are why I had to put that on there.
You make a compelling argument.
Yeah.
They were awesome characters.
They're so good. So good. Okay, what do you have?
Okay, so number 9 for me is one that I did not get to review on the podcast yet. I'm hoping at some point we do get to review this one on the podcast, but it was a campy horror book called You're Not Supposed to Die Tonight by Kaylin Barron.
Nice.
This book was great. If you're a fan of like Friday the 13th, Scream, if you like that, you know, Freddy versus Jason kind of campy stuff, this book was really, really good. And it had a lot of different plot twists that were completely intriguing and you didn't see coming. You'll never look at birds the same.
Oh.
And in this book, Kaylin wasn't afraid to kill off some characters. So,
wow.
Get ready. But if you like that sort of thing, you'll love this book. The main character and her girlfriend were awesome.
That's awesome. I actually did start that one and I didn't get around to finishing it because shit happens. Shit does happen. So my number 9. Now you're peeking on mine.
I apologize.
She is literally peeking.
I didn't see it.
It was The Shadow Cabinet by Juno Dawson.
We're going to really soft high-five The Shadow Cabinet. Yep. We both loved it.
I absolutely loved it. And here's the thing about my list. It's just a tiny spoiler, but 3 out of the 10 books on my list were second books in a series.
Okay, yeah.
Now, that's weird. Because normally I don't think the second book is as good, whether it's a duology or a series, but I absolutely fucking loved this one. I loved Her Majesty's Royal Coven, but this one, I was obsessed.
I like The Shadow Cabinet better than Her Majesty's Royal Coven.
Absolutely.
As well.
100%.
Yeah.
But so again, Shadow Cabinet, Juno Dawson, read it. Number 8, Halls.
Number 8 for me was Bookshops and Bone Dust by Travis Baldry.
Nice.
We didn't get around to this one on the podcast yet. I encourage everyone to go run, don't walk to read this cozy fantasy. It was so cute, guys. Oh my gosh, it was so cute. Travis Baldry does it again with these intriguing characters, this warm little fuzzy atmosphere, mm-hmm, with a hint of danger, though. Enough danger that kind of keeps you a little bit anxious, but not too anxious. You know it's going to be okay.
These are the perfect books for, I think, how I'm feeling right now in my life, which is high stress, high anxiety, and these are just so comforting and sweet, and just, I love all the characters. They're so good.
Yeah.
Cozy fantasy.
Totally enjoyed this one. There's a character in this book that was so unexpected and so adorable. Satchel.
Oh my gosh. I also love that book.
Yeah. Go get it.
My number eight is... Holly actually didn't read this one, okay, but I recommend everybody to read it. We did review it. It's called Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo. Ah. And it was a book told in verse, and it was excellent. And it was about two girls who share a dad across an ocean, and he passes away. And it's basically how they come to find each other. And it was so beautifully I absolutely love a novel written in verse, which is... And Elizabeth Acevedo does such a great job of this. And it is a great book to read if you're in a slump because it goes by pretty fast. And any book in verse is going to be great in audiobook form. So, Clap When You Land, Elizabeth Acevedo, a fantastic novel written in verse. And it was very deep. And it was also very, not just deep, but it had a lot of layers to it. It was a great heartwarming, but also kind of a little, obviously it was about a death and it was sad, but it was still good. Even because normally I don't like sad things.
But you liked it.
I did love it. I loved it.
I remember when you reviewed that book, you really loved it.
I did really love it. So that was my number eight. All right, we're moving on. Number seven.
Number seven is another book that unfortunately did not make it to the podcast this year. I don't know. That's a theme with me. What the hell?
That is going to make it, though, because I am going to listen to that one. This book actually made it book of the month.
This is an awesome book. This book is called Gwen and Art Are Not in Love by Lex Croucher. And I'm so excited to hear that this book made book of the month because I got this on NetGalley just kind of as an impulse. And sometimes you read these books on NetGalley, or I do, and they're really good. But then I feel like I never hear about them. Like, I don't have as much, my ear is not to the book talk and everything like yours is. But I feel like I don't hear about them after I'm done reading them, and they're awesome books. And so this book, I hope it gets every ounce of praise that it deserves because I don't read a lot of romance books, but this was my favorite romance book I read this year.
Oh, awesome.
The characters are extremely, extremely well written. There's a lot of humor in the book. There is some sadness, but it's just, and I like the historical aspect of it. I've always liked the King Arthur, mm-hmm, and, you know, those legends and Guinevere, and it's just a very queer and very interesting way that the story is told. So I highly recommend that to any romance fan or King Arthur fan.
I am definitely going to read that one, and I didn't choose it for my book of the month because I also got it as a NetGalley book, and I just hadn't gotten around to reading it. I went on a requesting spree and got too many. That's my problem. So I am going to definitely either do that, read that one, or listen to it now that it is fully out. Because you've been talking about that book for a while
ever
now.
Ever since I read it. It was it was in the spring, I think.
It was a long time ago. All right, so my number seven is This Wicked Fate by Kaylin Bayron.
Kaylin Bayron making the list several times.
She is. And this was, again, the second book in a series. This is a duology, actually. It started out with This Poison Heart, which I liked.
Loved.
I liked it.
Yeah, you liked it. I loved it.
Yeah, you loved it.
Y'all may see it coming up. Spoiler alert.
Right. I liked it. But I loved This Wicked Fate.
Yeah, This Wicked Fate was really good.
I really, really, really loved it. And it's surprising, again, that a second book did it. It was weird because the way this duology was structured was a little bit strange because the first book, This Poison Heart, was a Secret Garden retelling.
Awesome.
Which was great. But then This Wicked Fate had all of the, like, Greek mythology characters in it. Which
in all that mythology.
And I love anything. I am still a Percy Jackson
diehard. Yeah, it kind of reminded me
of
that.
Yes, it did. I'm a Percy Jackson diehard stan. Love, love, love any of that Greek mythology tellings and stuff like that. So if I had to pick one out of the duology, my favorite one was This Wicked Fate.
Love to hear it.
Yeah.
Kaylin Bayron's quickly becoming one of my favorite authors. There was a story in that book, Halloween book, that had all the, Night of a Night of the Living Queers, 13 Tales of Terror and Delight.
Right.
Very good book. Highly recommend that one as well. So, yeah, that's an author that quickly is becoming one that I will read every book that they write. Okay, so we're on number six, right?
Seven.
Oh, no, my seven was Gwen and Art Are Not in Love. So now I'm on number six, which is by your friend of mine, Lou Wilhelm, Ghost of Hex's Past.
Nice!
My favorite witch book of the year for the second year in a row, I think. I think it got my favorite witch book last year.
Yes, it did.
It's the continuation. Hey, look at this. It's the second book in a series. We're seeing a little bit of that on our list this year.
There's a trend.
And so Russ and Az continue their adventures, and just an awesome, love that book.
Yeah, and I mean, everything that I was beefing with a little bit about the ending of the first book, everything came full circle in the second book, and I actually enjoyed that one even more than the first one, too, and I gave both of them 5 stars.
I enjoyed them both equally, and the first book made my top 10 last year, and this one makes my top 10 this year. I love these witch books.
You do love a good witch book.
Yeah.
You do. All right, my number six was The Secret Life of Albert Entwistle. By Matt Cain.
I've heard a lot about this book.
Oh my gosh. I absolutely fucking love this book. This is like a contemporary kind of romance. I wouldn't even say it's a romance, but it's about this older gentleman, and he gets fired from his job on his 65th birthday. And he doesn't know quite what to do with his life. He's been kind of curmudgeonly all these many years. And so he sets off to find his true love.
Wow.
Of like when he was in his teens or early 20s. And so it's been very, very long time ago. And the best part about all of this is all of these people that help Albert with his sort of quest to find his true love. They all come together and they help him, and then I'm just gonna stop there. Please read this book. It's so heartwarming, it's so sweet, and I love a good like adventure where kind of everyone comes together to help, and it was so good. And it had some flashbacks a little bit, like about, you know, when he was younger, which I really enjoyed. It was good. It was a perfect heartwarming book for me. Loved it. And that's why I wanted it on this list. There was just so many.
I know.
That awesome. Were good.
Yes. Yes. All right. I told you it was coming.
Number five.
This Poison Heart. Kaylin Barron.
Kaylin Barron has made three. She was two of your top 10 books.
Two of my top 10.
That's crazy.
And I'm going to tell you that horror anthology almost was in the top 10.
Wow.
It was very, very close. So you've already said all that needs to be said about This Poison Heart. But if you like fantasy, if you like YA kind of adventure fiction, do yourself a favor and go read this.
Yeah, books. That was a great duology. And they're both out now, so you can just get them both at the same time and just read them straight through.
And you'll really want to, because that first one ends on a cliffhanger. It really does. It was a great book.
All right, now this top five may surprise you, Halls. All That Consumes Us by Erica Waters.
Oh, it was so good, and it almost made my list, too. I'm
All
so
That
glad.
Consumes Us by Erica Waters, which what is shocking about that is this is
a horror book.
It's a horror book, and I actually think that I might be a fan of horror. All That Consumes Us was a gothic horror fantasy book, young adult, and it was so creepy. Dark Academia, which I think that's like one of my big, I love Dark Academia.
Yep.
And I just fucking loved it. I turned the pages on this so fast, but it was very, very creepy. It had a lot of the Honeys vibes to me.
Yep.
Very similar, but also I think what really made me enjoy this was it was definitely very layered.
It really, really was.
Which I love anything that is a book, but it's talking about greater issues in the world today, but in sort of like, you know, metaphorical terms, or even not so metaphorical, because this was...
It was about class.
Yep.
And financial status.
And elitism, yeah, in academia, and like poverty and all of these kind of things. And it was really, really fucking good. And I loved every single second of that book. So if you're looking for something a little bit creepy, a little bit spooky, I say All That Consumes Us by Erica Waters.
I totally agree. It all, like I say, it by like a hair missed my
list. I may have more horror books on my list than you.
I wonder if you might, actually.
That is...
In a surprising twist.
It is. That's the twist of the year. That's crazy. All right. What is your number four?
My number four is A Tiger in Suburbia.
Nice.
By one of my favorites, Anna Woywood.
Yes.
And I do think you should read this book. It has horror... like a little bit of a horror quality to it. Mostly just a good solid tale. Definitely a creep factor. Definitely some anxiety provoking moments. It'll keep you on the edge of your seat. Anna writes the greatest characters. They're so good. I mean, these are books that I just think about well after they're done. So.
And this is the second book of hers that's made your list.
Yeah, her first book, which was The Veracity of Lies, made my top 10 last year. And it's a solid choice as well. If you like historical fiction and books about lesbians and bisexual women.
I do like that.
Go read those books.
I do like that. So that was number what on your list?
That was number four for me.
Okay, number four. So my number four... coming in hot is something the exact same as you, my friend.
The exact same as me?
Yes. Bookshops and Bone Dust.
Okay. Made both the lists.
Yep. It made both the lists. I liked this one. How? I don't know. Because Legends and Lattes.
I love Legends
and Lattes. Was so beloved to me last year.
Yeah.
Like, I read that when it was very, very new. And now Travis has been picked up by Tor, which is a huge publishing house of, like, you know, the fantasy and sci-fi.
Go, Travis. We love you.
We love you so much. You're so deserving. He's such a nice guy. And also, just FYI, if you're into audiobooks and you haven't tried, Travis is by trade, didn't start out as an author. He is an audiobook narrator. Oh, and wow. He narrated Legends and Lattes for free on a podcast.
Wow.
So you can go and listen to all of Legends and Lattes narrated by Travis for free wherever you get your podcasts. And please do yourself a favor. We all know, things are so fucking bleak and grim right now. I've been saying this for a while, but they just keep getting more bleak and grim.
They're not getting any better, people.
No. And these books are so comforting and so sweet, and they're just like a warm hug, and they will just make you feel good inside. This is a perfect thing to read over the weekend. And, you know, maybe if the weather's crappy, sit with a cup of coffee or tea or whatever, but Bookshops and Bone Dust I liked better. I don't know how it's possible, but it is. I loved it.
I have to say, I preferred Legends and Lattes only because Bookshops and Bone Dust is a prequel, so I knew how it was going to end to a certain point.
Yeah, I did kind of, I will say this, it is a prequel, so you do know what's going to shake out.
Right.
I did have a tiny bit of sadness in my heart the whole time reading it.
I agree.
However, I know you have strong feelings about epilogues. I thought this epilogue was perfect.
And it's a setup for a third book.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was real. I thought he just has a way of, the characters are so fucking good.
He does.
Like, they're all, I just want to be best friends with them. I want Satchel to come live with me. I don't think he will.
No.
But I would like that.
I would love that. I want to go to the bookstore. I want to go to the bakery.
Yeah.
I want to go to all the places.
Yeah. It's just so good.
Yeah.
So good. All right, we're moving right along. We're getting close. Number three.
Okay, number three for me.
Yeah.
Is a book that we reviewed, I think, for Black History Month. Ace of Spades.
Oh my gosh.
And if y'all out there slept on Ace of Spades this year, you need to go read Ace of Spades.
Guess what?
This was by a new author.
This was my number three.
Okay, we're sharing a number three, people. We're sharing a number three.
This was my number three.
This was the book that stunned me when I found out this was this author's.
Farida Abike Emide.
Thank you so much, because with this being a debut novel for this author, man, write that name down.
And it was written during the pandemic, right?
Big things ahead for this author.
I have this author's second novel on NetGalley. It's coming up. I can't wait to read it.
But when you talk about dark academia,
yeah,
and pointing out,
yeah,
race, class, economic, woo, all these issues, nailed it.
And this book is literally why I love to read, yeah, because it was so stunning how the author, it was a great story. It was, yeah, interesting. It was fast paced, and there was so many gut wrenching moments, but the gut wrenching moments were literally about racism,
yeah,
classism, all of this kind of stuff. And it was done in such a good way that I can't describe like how I love all these books that have bigger stories to tell, I guess is the thing.
Yeah. You approach it with like, there's so much, it's an awesome story and the characters are so
like you're cheering beloved. For, yeah, like you're you cheering them. For them so you want hard.
It to be okay, but it's not. And you have this sense of dread and you're like, this is not going to be okay. You know, and it's just, but the book is fantastic.
And this had maybe the top twist of the year.
Big time. I mean, so much.
I mean, it actually, the first twist was like an actual gut punch to me. I felt a visceral reaction in my body at the twist.
If anyone could have seen that coming, I want you to call in. We don't have a phone, but call in and let us know.
Type in to us.
And we will
give you a star by your name.
I want to challenge you in some way and be like, how did you know that?
Right.
How did you guess that?
I didn't see it coming. It was wild, wild. Please go read that book.
Yeah.
So good. And I'm excited for the next one.
You need to do it. Go do it.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just skip on to number two.
Okay. So number two, I'll bet this is, what if our top three are the same? I kind of think they might be.
I think they might be.
Okay, so.
Number two.
Number two for me was The September House.
That is also my number two.
Wow.
And just for the record, friends, we spoke not at all about this. Not a peep. I texted her about the rules, and she was like, there are no rules, babe. This is our own fucking podcast.
Yeah.
And that was literally it. She showed up at my house today, and I had been working on mine, and she had been working on hers. At no point
did we discuss
any of this.
We didn't compare it. We didn't say what we should or shouldn't include.
Nope.
I've read over 70 books this year.
Yeah.
All of them were queer, okay?
Yeah.
So this is what shook out of that. So this is not staged. This is coming to you live.
This is live in real life that we actually, I think, like more of the same things than we don't.
And I have to say, I know number one's going to be the same. If it hasn't been on mine yet, yeah, and it hasn't been on yours yet, we know what it's going to be.
Yeah,
but anyway,
we do.
Let's talk about The September House for a minute.
Good Lord, again, with the layered books.
Wow. This book was so good. As a mental health professional, this book had me like scratching my head.
I think at first you were like really like, because you texted me and were like, what the actual fuck is happening in this book?
I was like, what is wrong with this lady?
Well,
like there was something really wrong with her.
Well, she lived in a haunted house.
Yeah, but
and it was real.
Y'all need to read it.
It was real bad.
Please read it.
And actually, I don't want to say too much about this book except that it is about a haunted house. That isn't a secret. And one of my favorite things about the book was it was like, you knew it was haunted right away. Wasn't like you moved in and there was creepy stuff happening. And just right off the jump, she talks about how the house is haunted.
There wasn't a moving truck. I felt like I got dropped off for the weekend in a haunted house.
We did.
I mean, like I have backpack on my, yep, shoulder and I walk in and she's like, well, this is this and this, yep, is Sally and this is,
yep,
you know, and introducing all the ghosts to
me. Was haunted as fuck. But again, with holy shit, it's really not about a haunted house.
No, not at all.
It's about something else. And that something else, while we said what the something else was in the other books, I don't want to say what it is in this book.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's a very important read. I think, I literally think that every woman should read this book.
Unless you have triggers. Trigger warning. Mind the triggers.
Friends. And I will say, this book caused me, I love this book so much. I am on a bunch of book groups on Facebook.
Yeah.
Somebody came onto the Lord's whole internet and shit talked this book.
No, you can't do that.
And
this book had all of the qualities we just described, and there were lesbians.
Yeah.
Stop playing.
And I got real defensive over this book. And I wanted to tell that person to please go back and read it because they were wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong with you. If you, now, you can say, I don't care for horror or I don't care for ghosts, but you can't shit talk this book.
Yeah, I didn't want to allow it, but I don't get into internet drama, so I did allow it. I think I said that I loved it and it was one of my favorites of the year.
Yeah, I fully support not getting into internet
drama. Yeah, I don't do that. I don't get into that. But, I mean, I guess this is going to move quicker than we thought because we are at our number one.
Becky Chambers.
Yep.
A psalm. For the wild build.
Okay, mine is the it's a trend. Mine is the second book in that duology because I wanted to pick, and it was A Prayer for the Crown Shy by Becky Chambers.
Okay. Do yourself a favor, go ahead and get them both and yep. read them together. Kind of the same as with the Poison Heart. Like, don't delay. Don't have to end it and then think, well, I guess I'll have to go to the bookstore and get the second
one.
No, just go ahead and get them both. Well, I'm telling you, you'll like it.
And they're,
unless you're a fan of the patriarchy and working yourself to fucking death. And if you are, you're listening to the wrong podcast.
Late stage capitalism.
I mean, if you're like, I heart capitalism, give right. me some more cash. Like, maybe you won't like it. If you like to, like, step on other people's heads to make your money, like, ooh,
that's a whole word from you, Holly.
I'm sorry. Ooh. I had to go there.
It's so true. And it's a duology, so there's only two. That's all there's going to be. And also, they are novellas, so they are short. Now, you read this a whole ass year ago on
I read it on New Year's Eve.
And I read it on New Year's Day. And when I tell you, the only reason it beat out The September House was because I am still thinking about some of the things from this book. And not that I don't think about the other books, but like it affected me so deeply and so profoundly, the message in this book, that I want to reread it every year on New Year's Day just to remind myself what this is all about.
This book makes me so emotional. There really isn't, and I've told y'all I'm a therapist, so I have a caseload of clients, and I haven't had one person that shared with me that they are dissatisfied with their job, or that they feel like they don't fit in, or that they, you know, something in their life they just feel like they're not quite keeping up with, that I haven't said, go read a psalm for the wild built.
Yeah.
And they've come back and they've wanted to talk about it. Like, it's that meaningful and it's cute. Like, it's not like one of these books that, you know, tells you about how the patriarchy is terrible and capitalism is killing them. You know, all that's true, but it's telling you about it in the context of this monk and this robot. They're making tea and
yeah, it's
walking
so
in the
gentle.
Woods. It's like adorable.
And it's just so soft.
Yeah.
And it's quiet.
Yeah.
And it is kind and gentle. The writing is absolutely exquisite.
Yeah.
Even in two short novellas, the world building is unmatched for
yeah.
me.
I feel like I know exactly what happened, exactly what it looks like.
I can see it all in my head. Like, every detail is there. The queer representation is there.
Yeah.
The beautiful writing, the story is all there, and I want to read a passage from it to kind of remind all of us what all this is about, and I'm going to read a little tiny bit of A Prayer for the Crown Shy, because That was my favorite. Did you like A Song for the Wild Built better?
I did, just because of the unexpectedness of the story. It really it was like a gut punch for me.
Yeah. They were both outstanding. I only picked A Prayer for the Crown Shy because I think there were passages that I highlighted more.
Yeah.
But I didn't read these back to back.
No.
So I think that if I go back and read them, and honestly, it is just one story.
Yeah, if you read them back to back, I would probably dare you to pick a favorite. I mean, they flow right.
Exactly. It goes right one to the next. And so that I wish that I had read it all in one, you know.
Well, next time you will.
I will. I sure will this time. Okay, so this is about a T-Monk and a robot. And they're just talking, and this is Monk talking. They'd spent too much time around tired folks not to recognize the same condition in themselves. They were running up against a wall, and it didn't matter whether they understood where the wall had come from or what it was made of. The only way to get through it was to stop trying for a while. Welcome comfort, they reminded themselves, rubbing the little pectin bear with their thumb. Without it, you cannot stay strong. And that, actually, that part of it, welcome comfort, hits me so hard because the world right now is so harsh.
Yeah.
And it feels dark, and so many things in the world are going on that just feel like it's too much. We just need comfort.
Yeah.
Like,
and everyone deserves that.
Yes.
And literally everyone deserves
soft
that.
Soft things and taking, and I hate it because there's so much talk in this world, and especially to women, about self-care. And that's good because I think it's true. But I just need to invite more things that are comfortable and comforting. Having a cup of tea and taking that time, to even if it's 10 minutes out of your day. And doing movement that is enjoyable and lovely and not just, oh, I'm fat or I need to get in shape or whatever, but doing things that bring joy to your body just for the sake of moving. Or, you know, having a meal that is delicious and nourishing. All of these things just are what life is really made of, instead of this constant striving that I feel like we're all doing.
Yeah, and it's okay not to want that striving. It's okay not to keep up with people who are embracing that culture.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has their own philosophy, and if you have a philosophy that you don't want to embrace that culture, go read this book.
Yes.
It will help you.
And it will settle something in your spirit, and just, it's like sighing after holding your breath for a really long time.
That's exactly it. Yes.
It is just a big, giant exhale. And yes. I love it. I love you, Becky Chambers, for writing this book. And I definitely have it on my to-do list. Actually, I'm not going to put it on a to-do list.
We don't believe in to-do lists.
Nope. I'm going to, though, read it in the new year to remind myself of how I would like to proceed.
Yeah. You're going to comfort yourself with this book.
I am going to, because it's so beautiful. And actually, you know what? I have these downloaded on my iPad. I may want to have the hard copies of these books.
Yeah, I don't see why not. The cover, I'm telling you now, the cover is so cute. But it really is.
It's so cute. It's so cute. Well, friends, that's a wrap. That's our top 10. And I can't believe we had more in common than not.
Isn't that a beautiful lesson?
It is a beautiful. That's a whole lesson right there.
It's a whole lesson. You may think you're different, but you know what? You and I had more in common than not on these lists.
We did. I think half of it.
That's so awesome.
That's so awesome. Friends, we hope that you have had a great reading year. And even if you didn't, we encourage you to go out there and pick a book that you're going to love and just enjoy it. No lists. No pressure. No nothing.
No goals. Just listen to it on a download or read a hard copy or read an ebook. However you like to do it.
However you like to do it.
Be nice to yourself.
We hope that you have an awesome holiday, and we will see you in the new year.
Yep. We'll see you when we see you.
Bye. Hello, Rainbow Readers. We have some super exciting news. We have our first sponsor here on Your Rainbow Reads.
Yay.
It's a great trans-owned company called Homebody MN. And they are a book box subscription company that sends you a curated box of used books every quarter. You just go on their website and fill out their form with your likes and dislikes. You can even link your Goodreads page to it so they know what you've read already. And they will put a box together just for you with an emphasis on minority authors.
So cool.
So that's awesome. They also sell the best-selling 100% soy wax candles with the most clever names. We even got some. And what was one of them?
Ours were Burn the Patriarchy and Let's Try a Matriarchy.
So cool is that? It's so cute. And we have a special coupon code for our listeners to get what?
They get 25% off their first box and just go on the website and type in rainbow25.
Yeah, it's the website is www.homebodymn, as in Minnesota.com. And let's go support this great trans-owned company.
Go get a box.